Well, I'd appreciate your prayers. I have kind of a familiar thought I'd like to work with. Heaven or hell? With a question mark. And I'd like to talk tonight about the idea of choice. And I know that's not new to us. That's a very familiar subject. But I'd like for us to consider it because it's major. It's a major idea tonight. And I don't think I really have to do this, but I want to try. I want to establish a little bit the fact that we do have choice. I think we probably all realize that we were created with choice. But I do want to read a scripture, start off in Genesis. Can you pray for me? Genesis, the second chapter, the fourth verse, says, "These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." And that is the beginning idea of the fact that men have choice. Because God went on to say of that tree of knowledge, "Don't eat of it." And had he not placed it there and there was no potential of it, it wouldn't have been a choice. But he gave to Adam and Eve, his wife, the ability to choose what he was going to do. Whether he was going to be obedient or disobedient. Had he not put the possibility of disobedience there, there would have been no choice. So I think that's the beginning of it. But I want us to, I believe we all believe that. But just as an aside, if you want a better foundation for that, there was a message preached in LaRonja this year. You ought to go and listen to it. It's a very good message, and it would lay a really good foundation for this idea. But we do have choice. And we actually have a choice tonight of heaven or hell. It's the grandest of choices, but we have all kinds of choices we make in life. And I've noticed something about choices. Choices rarely stay by themselves. You ever notice that choices are in groups or clusters, or I mean, one choice makes many choices. I can come up with a lot of ideas, but I mean, one is I can make a choice to build myself a new home, but if I do, I'm going to have to make a lot of choices after I make that choice. How big I'm going to make it, how I'm going to arrange it. I mean, there's choices always. That's actually the nature of choice. It puts you on a certain one line or another line. It gives you, they're actually in clusters. And so we have to realize that when we make a choice, we're taking the whole cluster of choices. I mean, for us to really realize what a choice really does and what it really is. I can say many times, and being a parent, I know I've heard excuses like this, where I will say to my children about something that's done or not done, and they'll go back to or respond by saying, "Well, this happened." But the only reason that happened is because you made a choice over here that, now you've got to deal with what happened. But it's like they're innocent because, well, they didn't choose that. They didn't choose that. And I'll give you an example I like to use. A lot of times, I don't hear it so much anymore, but I used to hear it a lot back in my early days, and not so much from our group, but different groups. There was a belief that you really should give Sunday, the Lord's Day, to the Lord. I mean, Lord's with apostrophe S means possession, the Lord's Day. I mean, it ought to mean something. It's the Lord's Day. I think all days are the Lord's, but there's a reason why they said the Lord's Day. There was something special about it, and the Lord wanted it. But there was an exemption that everybody understands. That if your ox falls in the ditch, because Jesus says this, if your ox falls in the ditch, well, who of you wouldn't get your ox out of the ditch if he fell in there on the Sabbath day? Well, everybody would get them out of there. It's a well understood idea. Okay. But how many oxen are you deciding to have? Because listen, if you get a big herd of oxen, one, it's rare to get in the ditch. But people live their life and always have a good excuse because the oxen's in the ditch. The fact of it is after you get 100 or 200 oxen and they're running around, you increase the possibility of one of them being in the ditch. If you understand the idea here. The decision is made way over here. Nobody ought to blame me for not being on service on the Lord's Day. I mean, look what happened. And look what happened. But if you go back to the choice that was made, the decision that was made, you made decisions to be too busy in your life. You made decisions that there's no way that you're going to have that day open because you've got too many oxen to care for. But almost nobody will realize that there's a choice that causes that to happen. And we're responsible for the cluster of choices. Understand what I'm saying? So we have to deal with choices today. And choices mean a lot more than what they just seem like they... You have to realize what all the choices mean. For instance, supposing I say, you know what, I'm getting up in years. If I'm going to do some things that I want to do in life, I'm going to have to do them. I mean, time's getting away with me. So, you know, I always wanted to be a doctor. Now, that's not true, but I didn't want to be a doctor, but I'm saying it in a sense of supposing that I said, well, you know, I'm 56 years old now, and if I'm going to be a doctor, I got to do it now. So I decide to be a doctor, so I go over here to Mercy Hospital and go in and tell them, you know, I've decided to be a doctor. I want to be a doctor, and they say, you're the man we need. We're glad you're here. We'll get you a white coat and put a tag on you. And of course, every doctor has a clipboard to carry around, and we'll get you a clipboard, and you can go, and you can be a doctor. Well, we all know that it don't work that way. If I was going to decide something like that right now in my life, I would have to decide. I mean, the choice doesn't mean that I'm just a doctor. It means that I'm going to have to devote my life, my time, to extensive study and schooling and everything that it causes to be that doctor. Or supposing I say, well, you know, I'm getting along with it. I need to do something. I'm going to be a lawyer. I'm going to be a lawyer. And so in order to be a lawyer, well, most lawyers have a partner. If you'll notice, well, I have to get my wife, Clevenger and Clevenger, law firm. We can hang out at a shingle. But you know, if I make the decision to do that, it's going to cost me something. I'm going to have to realize that it's going to cost me something to get there. I can say today, I'm going to be an automobile mechanic. And I can go get the regular, you know, everybody knows you got to get a shirt that has your name right here on it. I mean, it's a certain kind of, that's what, and I'm going to go, and I'm going to be a mechanic. And I can go down to the Chevrolet here in Joplin and say, I want to be a mechanic. And they almost surely would say, you're the man, right? No, they would say, can you fix anything? Well, I want to start fixing something. It don't work that way. If I'm going to decide, if I'm going to make a choice, folks, listen, we're going to make a choice. Choices are important in life. We have the ability to choose things. God did something, and I want us to realize this of how important it is. And again, I'm going to refer to that message if you want to hear it to do it better than I did. But I want you to know that choice is something that God gave. That means something. because he's going to honor it. He has created that. He gave that. And he's going to honor the will that he gave you. It is up there on the high part. He wants, it's important to God. So we have a decision and all the way through our lives. We make a lot of decisions about life. But do you realize tonight that you're choosing tonight whether you go to heaven or to hell? And if I was to say to this congregation tonight, well, pick one. I'm almost positive, as positive as I can be, that everybody in here would pick this one. That the choice would be heaven. But this isn't a punch button thing. This isn't a say, I'm gonna choose this. It comes in clusters. It comes in many choices. If I choose, well, you're not going to choose hell. Nobody's going to choose hell by saying, I want to go there. But you got to choose the whole thing. And it's involved in the whole thing. Do you want to go to heaven? You're going to have to choose to go. I want to go. And many, many religious groups, many, many people believe that that is to turn over a new leaf sometimes. Or most people don't believe that. Most people believe it's something in Jesus, or we do something in Jesus. But it's more than just saying that I accept Jesus, that he came, or even the blood of Jesus. It doesn't stop there. It comes in life clusters. It comes in, if I'm going to go, I'm going to have to go. The Lord comes and leads us to that way. We're going to have to accept the choices that come in. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Well, I don't know what they all are, but I want to learn. I want to know what they are, and it'll come in life. Many times I'll come in life. I can't make the excuses that my ox is in the ditch. If I'm the one that's getting all the oxen, it'll always be in the ditch. I can't make the excuses that people make. But I'm going to have to make decisions as I go through life. And it's very important that we do this, because it's about choice. It's about your choice tonight. I remember hearing a guy, I thought this was very impressive. There was an atheist young man. He was talking to a pastor, and he said to this pastor, he said, I cannot believe in this God of love you're talking about. Because how could a God of love send anybody to a terrible place like hell? And the pastor said back, he doesn't. He said, God so honors your will. I want you to really consider this tonight. He said, God so considers your will that why would God force you to live in a place that you despised? Do you think God would make you live in an eternity? I mean, he's going to make you live in an eternity in a place that you hated and despised while you were here. You know, heaven has definition to it. You know, heaven is a holy place. You know, heaven is a pure place. Well, how can you suppose that you're choosing heaven and that you ought to get a go there if you don't love holiness? If you don't love purity, why would you want to spend eternity in that place when you reject and despise that as a decision of this life? God's going to honor it. God's going to honor that decision. So we have a decision to make. But the decision is more than just a one-time decision. It's the decision about what I really love and what I want in life. I can say, I don't want to go to the place called hell. Because they're what? Is separated from God? That's what people choose.
Well, I don't want to go there because it's a place of evil. Okay? There's evil. That's what people choose. I don't want to go to a place where there's hatred and malice. I mean, that's there in hell. But that's what people choosing. I mean, that's what I wouldn't want to go to a place to where murder was what everybody was thinking about and despise. That's hell. People choose hell in this life, but expect not to go there in the next one. The influences of heaven is on us through Christ. Jesus comes through His Spirit and brings the influence of heaven. You can experience heaven. I've experienced heaven right here this week. You can experience the love that heaven will be. I think we get a little earnest of heaven with our brethren. I think we get a little earnest of heaven through the Spirit of God. I think we get a little earnest of heaven sometimes in the songs. I think the Word of God gives us a little earnest of heaven. Very little, but it's an earnest of heaven that we can experience. And we can draw us more and more to that place called heaven. And we can choose to get more and more of heaven. Lord, I want to get closer to the Lord. I want more, Lord. Lord, help me. I want to choose more holiness in my life. I want to choose more of heaven so I'll be more suited for heaven. Well, you think you're going to just say, well, I want to be a doctor. So they're going to hire me down here at the hospital? No. They wouldn't do that. I'm going to choose heaven. Lord, help fit me for it. I know it's through the blood of Jesus, but what does it do? It alters the heart. It changes the heart into a place that's fit for heaven, loving the Lord. Oh, we need to love the Lord. We need to love the good things. So we get right down to it. Hell has its influence upon our world. Folks, when we choose to love this present world more than we love God, when we start to love, listen, I'm going to be an equal opportunity trash basher here tonight. Because there's a lot of filthiness out there. And when it comes to the lyrics and the words and the bong and banging of the music of the day from all, like I said, will be equal opportunity here. Of the rap music artists and all those things that people are devolving all the way to the country honky tonk. It's a little bit of hell. To embrace that and take that, folks, that's a choice. That's a choice that has significance to it. I can tell the Lord at the end of this, yeah, I love that old honky-tonk song, and He said, we ain't playing it here. We don't play that here. That's not, we don't play that guy. We don't think that way. What people give themselves to all kind of lasciviousness and lustful things and all that. There's all kind of entertainments. Some of it so-called family that even isn't decent. I have a problem with some of these things. I mean, you can call it acting if you want to, but if that guy on that screen and that woman on that screen that's hugged up and kissing ain't really husband and wife, I got a problem with that. God's got a problem with that because He's wanting us to choose something more than that. It comes in a package. So tonight, you know, we really are making a choice. What are you choosing? What are you choosing? Choose heaven. To follow the ways of the Lord. To put the good things in your life. To say, this is what I want in my life. And not be afraid or not be weak. And not be put it off to say, no, I'm not going to listen to that. Well, I know what we can, I know it, well, that sounds pretty good and it don't affect me that much. I know all that there, but we're making a choice tonight. I don't believe that the devil's behind every tree and his hands in every lyrics, but it's in what he can get it in. That's for sure. And he'll do what he can to do in that. And I was so just marveled by this statement is that God's going to, do you know God's going to honor your choice? Your will, what you choose in this life, He's going to honor that.
Now, there's a scripture over in Luke, 15th chapter of Luke. Oh, it's a very, very familiar passage. 11th verse says, "And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." Choice. Choice. It's time. I feel like I've come to my grown-up state. Choices. Young people, listen to me. Choices. Had two young sons. The youngest of the two sons comes to his father and says, "I'm a man now." Well, I don't want to take any of you young men's grown-up situation from you, but I want to tell you, I'm going to just tell you something. I look at some of you young people, and I'm not at all, don't think I'm, I used to be young too. And I look at some of you young people, and I hate to really say the age, but young people, teenage years, and I look at you and I think you're children. I bet I'm older. I look at you and I think you're children sometimes because I've seen you grow up, and sometimes I forget, and sometimes I think back and remember when I was that age, and I thought I was so grown up. I thought I was so grown up at that age. But now looking back at me at that age, I wasn't very grown up. So he comes and he makes a decision. I'm grown up. I've got muscles in my arms now. Make my decisions. I can make my decisions. I want you young people to know something. Decisions cost. Choices come in clusters. If you make a decision, you're going to have to make a decision about that decision. And you're going to have to make a string of decisions about the decisions. It's true serving the Lord. I'm not saying it's not. It's true serving the Lord. If you make a decision tonight to serve the Lord, you're going to have to make a decision to keep serving the Lord. You're going to have to make a decision that you're going to serve the Lord even though you suffer some things. You're going to have to decide that you're going to make decisions about that decision you made. But it's also true the other way. When you come and you get your inheritance and you head out for that world, you made a decision to do it. All the future looks bright. I'm young and can run hard. But there's choices. There's results to that at the end of it. There's going to be something happen because of it at the end of it. But you can make those kind of choices. So the young man makes a choice and he comes to his father and says, "Father, the time's come. Give me that which belongs to me." I want you to notice something. He did. He honored it. The father honored it. He knew more than the young son did, but he honored it. Here it is, son. Oh, he must have wept. He must have wept, but he gave it to him. He gave it to him. You know, the Lord will honor that. You remember when Jesus went to the land of the Gadarenes and he ended up healing Legion? You remember that? And the Legion went into the hogs and destroyed the herd of swine, and the people that owned the swine came to Jesus and said, ask him to leave. You know what he done? You know what he done? He left. He honored it. You don't want me here, I won't be here. You know the Lord was going to honor your decision just that way. He's going to honor it. If you don't want good things in your life, if you don't want holiness, if you don't want those kind of things, it ain't God being mean. It isn't that God's, I'm going to tell you, the scripture says that he isn't willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. It isn't God's fault. God isn't willing that anybody here perish. But he's got a higher mark. He'll honor you. He's going to honor you all the way to the day of judgment. And in that day, the judgment that he'll make will be made on the choices that we made, whether we're going to go to heaven or not. That's going to be the bottom line of it. Well, in this story here, the young man says, "Give me, Father,
Give me that which belongs to me, the portion of goods that followeth me. And he divided them his living. Not many days after, the younger man are gathered all together and took his journey into a fair country. And there was waste there. He wasted his substance with riotous living. If you give me the liberty, in my mind, it goes something like this. Living for the Lord is the best way. By far. Okay? It isn't a close thing. But when you get to a certain place and you cannot realize that, you can be there too long. You can be there, long time. You can be there. Here was a young man that, I'll say this, it's peaceable. It's quiet. It doesn't have the bangs and booms of the world. It doesn't have all the glitter and show. It has substance. It has reality. But to the young man that never experienced, and in my mind it goes something like this, maybe father's place was pretty close to the caravan routes. And maybe the lights and the noise of the city could be heard from there. I don't know, I'm just supposing, if you'll follow me in my thoughts. And the young man had been there, always plenty to eat, always love, always peaceable, always the valuable things that should make a person happy. But there was also climbed up in him, and will always be in us, a choice, a wondering maybe. And so the young man says, this habitation doesn't work for me. I got more. I need more. I need something out there. And I got to experience it. And there goes the caravan again. And I see them in their silks. And I see them in their fineries. And I see them, they jingle as they go by. They got something that we don't have here. And there's noise from the city. There isn't this a cappella singing. They just don't sit around. It's just something different. I hear the bang and the boom. And I want to know what's out there. I want to go. It's a choice. Folks, you don't get the glamour without getting the hooks. You know, I can tell you tonight, you can decide to start smoking, but you can't decide not to get sick over it. Because it goes with it. You can say, I'm going to drink a little bit, but you can't know that you won't have a hunger for it or a thirst for it that you can't get loose of. You can make the choice, but you can't say what the end of it will be. You can't just get rid of it that way. You can't go away. What it's going to do to you, you can't avoid it. So there's choices to be made, but they come in clusters, and they come with there's penalties, and there's rewards that come with choices, and there's a lot involved in choices. And God will honor your choice at any point, folks. You get me? At any point, there is no experience in the Christian experience to where you get so sanctified or so holy that you quit making a choice. Serving God is a daily choice. It's an hourly choice sometimes. Sometimes it comes down to moment choices. Living for God, you've got to choose. You got to make the choices that goes down the right way. Oh, Father, give me that. I'm ready to go. And not many days after he had it in his hand, and he's got wealth now, and he's got something, and now he's going to know what it's about now. Maybe some of you won't take my word tonight, but you're looking at somebody that didn't have what you have. If you've been raised in a godly environment, you got something I didn't have. And I run it. I did it. I didn't know any better. I want to tell you, in my world, doing wrong was the right thing to do. In my world. In my world growing up, you would have been a freak not to have done the wrong things. That's the way it was. And you've done the wrong things. And if there was any pressure at all, it was never to do the good thing. It was to do the wrong things. And I've done the wrong things because that was what you're supposed to do, the wrong things. And I got to a point that all of it was worthless to me. I was a very young man, and it became worthless. Then the choices and the things that I'd done, and none of it satisfied. And I'm a miserable, miserable 23-year-old. Come on, 23 years old, and I've run the gauntlet. I'm tired of it. Yeah, Yeah, I was tired of the whole thing. What is any sense in any of this? No happiness, no satisfaction, none of those things. Yeah, I tried it, but you probably won't take my word for it. But if you're here tonight, I wish you would. I wish you would take the word of those that went and done those things and come back and said, it's not worth it. There's nothing out there for you. And the thing of it is the culmination of the choices of life will be eternal. Well, the young man took his substance, didn't he? And he went down. And this is a truism. This is the factual. This is what's going to happen. He went down and wasted his substance. And then the scripture says, a famine. Oh, folks. Not many days after, the young son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. You think he had fun? Yeah. Guarantee it. He experienced things he had never experienced before. He had fun. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. That's it, folks. That's what follows every time. This is what's going to follow that kind of a life. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Folks, that was about as low as he could go. That's why it's told that way. He's getting down low. Some people say that he got so low that he eat the pig's feed. No, he went so low, he went lower than that. Nobody would give him pig's feed. It said, and he would have fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, folks, listen, when he came to himself, choice. Thank God that we still have choice. I know there are scriptures that say, unless my Father draws you, you cannot come. And it's true. And it's why that when the Lord's working with you, it's a ridiculous statement to say, I'll be saved later. I'll be saved before I die. You don't know what you feel like and what you'll even be in your mind towards salvation by then. You don't own it. But while you can, you still have choice. And he said, he came to himself and he still had a choice. He still had the choice right there. I've got the choice. It still was laid out before him, heaven or hell. Which one do you want? You're running hard to hell. You're putting everything of hell in your life. Folks, when you hate your brother, you got some hell in you. You do. I mean, we preach all the time. Take care of it. Don't have bitterness there. Get forgiveness. You know why? Unforgiveness is in hell. It's a part of hell. It's not a part of heaven. There's no unforgiveness in heaven. To grab a hold of an impure pure things and have under your shelf or a hidden place an ungodly movie or an ungodly songs or whatever it is. You might have it there hidden, but God knows where it's at. But it don't matter because right here is where it's at anyway. You don't take that movie or that CD to the judgment with you. You take this with you. And what it goes is it goes and it registers on whether it's of hell or it's of heaven. Oh, it said of Jesus that the prince of this world cometh and find nothing in me. Because Jesus didn't have, he come a-looking. And he could have claimed anything he found. It's an eternal law. Sin is of the devil. Lies is of the devil. Stealing is of the devil. Bad thoughts of the devil. Wickedness is of the devil. He comes looking for it. Because he wants to know where it's at. Because he owns that. That's mine. And that goes with me where I go. So we make choices tonight. Do you know you're making a choice all the time of where you're going to go? Either heaven or hell. But he came to himself. Destitute. You know, sometimes people just got to go to the bottom of the barrel. I don't like the bottom of the barrel. So a lot of times in my life, I want to say, Lord, I'm saying about individual things. I say, Lord, I don't want to have to go to the bottom. Help me now. Help me, Lord. Help me to do that. Help me to follow the right way. Well, he got to the bottom. He says, I know what I'll do. I'm going to have to make a decision here. Am I going to go on like this? In this situation? You'll make a decision tonight. If you don't make it tonight, it's still there for you tomorrow. It's through all your life, the decisions that you make, the choices that's laid out are forever there. And God honors them. God honors your decision. If you want a little hell in your life, you can put hell in your life. And you can have that. But the thing of it is, you can't choose hell in this life. Because if you choose hell in this life, you got to have it in the next one. You can't despise heaven and get a go there. Because it's against your will. He places the things before you. He places heavenly things before people. No doubt the weekend's coming up. No doubt the world's going to be full and the bars are going to be full and the places of entertainment and of evils are going to be full. And all of that is choosing hell for judgment. Because God's going to honor those choices. My heart, when my heart is on those things of malice and unforgiveness, then I'll spend eternity with the things that I loved in this life. Oh, but thank God, there's this scripture. I thank God for it. Because he says, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hard servants my fathers have bread enough to spare, and I perish for hunger. Oh, I'm going to tell you, he started remembering, didn't he? He started remembering what it was like back there. All that I thought was fun. Folks, this world's going to eat, you're going to eat, chew you up and spit you out. This world is going to eat you up in a spiritual way. It's going to leave you destitute and with nothing. I often look at people that's been right with us and see them go down a path of destruction. I look at it and shudder and think, who would want to go a path like that? And how do they think about it? I love my wife and my children so much, I don't want to be separated from them. I don't want to live that kind of place. And it seems so easy for them to get to that place. Well, how can they do that? How can a man have little children like that and just run off and abandon them? I don't know. Except for it's hell that's in their heart. Heaven don't do it. There was a case up home, I remember it well, because I remember hearing it. I can't validate it, but I believe it was so. But there was a woman up there. She had some beautiful little children. I don't know what their marriage was like. I know they get bad. The hell can enter right into them. It can be an awful hell for people that allow it. If they make the choices of hell. Listen, you start putting stuff in your marriage that's hell, you'll have a hell for marriage. That's the choice. If you don't put the heavenly things in there, you won't have heavenly things in there. And this they had problems, and the woman abandoned two little boys. It was just as cute as they could be. And she took off. We're in West Virginia. And she took off for California. And she took off there with her baby. A little girl. And I remember when the community talked about it, there come a time that the woman called back home and told the husband, the divorcee then, if you want this girl, you come and get her because I don't want her and I want to see her anymore. How can a woman that bore a daughter, a child, get themselves to the place that they lose the love for them? Is it possible? Happens all the time. It's because there was a choice. You say, well, she didn't choose to lose that. No, she made the choice that went to the choice that made the choice to do it. She went down the line that caused it. And at the end of the lines that I'm talking about tonight, and I hope the Lord blesses this and you understand it, that the choices that you make is going to make the choice for you. You're making the choice of what you have in this wonderful place of peace and of love and of rest and of joy and of love between and all of those things. You pick here. You choose now. Lord, I want that world in my soul. Lord, I want to live here with heaven in my soul. I want the good things. I want the right things. And Lord, every time I'm encroached by the devil, help me to keep that out of my heart so that I'll be a fit candidate for the place that you've chosen. He comes by His blood. He comes by His Spirit. He made the way for us to choose in our lives the good things of life. Lord, help us. It's there to choose. I know what I'll do. Hey, these servants have more than enough, and they're not going hungry, and I'm perishing. Here I am a son. Here I have so much possibility. The Lord had given me so much. I'm a father. My father. I'm heir. I mean, all this, and I had this, and I squandered it, and I know I'm not worthy. But I know what I'll do. I'm going to go home. Folks, if you're here tonight, and you've been away, and you got to a destitute place, and hell's been riding you hard, and you've been choosing all those things that causes the relationship problems, that causes the guilt problems, that causes the low esteem problems, that causes the self-respect problems, that causes all those problems, you can make a choice to change it. There is times when people don't treat each other right that they can't look one another in the eye. You can't lift your head up. I told this story many times. I sold a car to a guy one time. Well, it wasn't much of a car, but I didn't ask much money. I wanted $400, an old Oldsmobile. A guy came up to me and said, I'll take the car. How much you want? $400. Well, I ain't got $400. Would you take $225, I think it was. $225, I'll pay you the rest on payday. I said, oh, man. Ooh. Yeah, okay. When's payday? Friday. I'll pay you Friday. Okay. You take the car. You pay me Friday. Okay, took the car. Friday comes, Friday goes. Where's my money? Well, he just ain't got around to it. Another Friday comes, another Friday goes. And I'll be honest with you, I was saved. I was saved. But I wanted that money. I didn't have much money. I wanted the money. I mean, if I wanted to sell the car for $225, I would have. I wanted the money. Well, the guy, finally, one day I'm going to work, and early in the morning, I got in the line at the Go-Mart. And look, who's in front of me but the guy that got the car? So he turns around. Well, when he turned around, he looked me right in the face. And he dropped his head. I noted it. He dropped his head, and he said, I'm going to pay you. I've been going to pay you. I'm getting paid this Friday coming, and I'm going to pay you. Well, I was pretty stern that that's what he needed to do. You owe me for that. He didn't pay me. You know what? It was a while later. Same situation exactly. He's right in front of me in the line. And he turns around, and there I am. He looked me right in the face, dropped his head, and said, you know, I've been meaning to, and I'm going to make it. And boy, this time, you was going to pay me for that. I'm going to pay you. All right. You pay me. You know what started happening? I'll just be real honest with you. It's been years and years ago. Hell started creeping into my soul over that. I started having some real bad thoughts. And I said, Lord, you're going to have to help me this. That $175 isn't enough for my soul. You're going to have to help me. You know what the Lord told me? It was pretty plain. Forgive him. Huh? You want victory? Forgive him. And I said, I'll do it. Now, Lord, if you can make this, boy, this is going to be good. If you can make this situation happen again, do you know it wasn't long till I, right in front of me in the Go-Mart line. And he turned around. I mean, he turned around and there I was. And he said, I said, don't worry about it. You're forgiven. You're fine. I don't need it. You're fine. Just go. You're forgiven.
And my prayer to the Lord was, Lord, if that's the only thing that keeps him out of heaven, would you forgive him for it? Now, I know that might not be the way it works, but that was my heart. I want him to make it, and it ain't worth all of that. And I want to tell you where I went with that. Oh, I went skipping. Folks, listen, we make choices. We make choices about things. What is a soul worth anyway? What's your soul worth tonight? We make choices about life, and choices. I could have had I ain't saying it wouldn't have happened maybe in a different part of my life, but I could have said, you either give me that money or we're going right out this door right here and I'm going to get it out another way. We're going to settle something right here over this money. And he'd have never talked to me again, whatever happened over it. But that ain't what happened. The Lord put a little heaven in there. The Lord put a little bit of a relationship that we could talk and stuff just because I was willing to forgive. The Lord got heaven for our relationships. But you're going to have to choose the heaven part to start with, or you're going to have to make choices about hell. I mean, if you start making choices about hell, I will not forgive him, then you're going to have to make choices of whether you're going to fight over it, you're going to take him to court over it, you're going to have to make whether you're going to let the air out of his tires. You're going to have to make something. Choices that go with choices. You forgive him and you start making choices about how you can better the relationship, about how you can testify and ask him to come to the church or the camp meeting or whatever, but you've got choices to make after choices and choices. And they're all involved in our eternal life. Because we make decisions and choices all the time. Lord, help us. Do you remember when the children of Israel came up to the Jordan? Oh, the Lord loved them people. Oh, he loved them. He brought them out of bondage of Egypt and was showing his mighty hand. You know that what the Lord did in Egypt was just astounding. He confounded all of their gods for his people. He didn't want them to go off believing in them. And so he confounded every god they had in the process of getting them out of there and took them out of there by a mighty hand. Oh, it wasn't very long till they turned to an old god again. Turned it all that over that. And he took them and he took them all the way to the Jordan. And he had promised them and tried to set faith in their hearts about they should have had some. They went across the Red Sea by a miracle. They come out of Egypt by a miracle. They were saved from the death angel by a miracle of the blood over there and the Passover. All the wonderful things God had done. And he tried to set that in their hearts. And he brought them to the time that they were supposed to go and get the promise. And he said, I'm going to give you cities you didn't build. I'm going to give you vineyards that you didn't plant. And I'm going to get. And they went over there and said, give it to us. It's full of people. Giants. The Lord said, give it to them. He just wanted them to have faith to go get it. God was going to give it to them. But you remember the story? They sent the spies over into the land. And they came back and they cried all night. 10 of them said, we're just like grasshoppers. There's giants. Walled cities are thick and there are giants in the land and we're not able. And the other two said, they're right. We're just like grasshoppers in there. It's like big old giants and their cities are thick and walled and we are well able. We're well able to do it. But they wept. It said they wept the night. They wept the night through. We're not going. Oh, it displeased the Lord, folks. It displeased him. But God will honor your choice. They later said, we'll go if that's... You made a choice. You made a choice to disobey the Lord. You decided that you wasn't going to trust in the Lord and go and get what he had promised you. And you're going to live with your choice. Because I have to honor it. I made you with it. I gave it to you. As a crowning creation, nothing else has it. I created you. Superior to all my creation to change and alter histories by what you do. Animals don't do it. Men do. And I'm going to allow you a certain leash on your life to choose what you want to do. And I'm going to let you choose your own destiny in eternity. If you love the things of hell, the darkness, the evil,
and you choose it, this life, where it be through entertainments, through your action, through whatever it is, and you choose that as the template of your life, then God will let you have it in your life. They said, well, we'll go now. And he said, you go, God ain't going, we ain't going with you. God ain't going with you. You'll have to go by yourself because you ain't going to have it this way. Because the choice was made that they made. And you know, we're going to find those choices all the way through your life. You're going to make a choice about who you marry, young people. Well, I know we want the Lord to lead and help us to know, but you'll still make a choice. And you will pay for your choice. I mean, you're going to get rewarded for it. What? I mean, there's going to be a payday with all of it. It's going to be one. You're going to build it right or you're going to build it wrong. You're going to make it good or you're going to make it bad. There are choices that follow it. And I'm going to tell you something. In most cases, when you choose that, you choose what comes with it. They ain't no backing up on that squalling little guy. Listen, guys. They ain't no backing up on that little guy. Well, I didn't choose. Yes, you chose. It's a part of the package. And this little fellow is yours now to be faithful to and to train up. And I'm going to tell you what the Lord wants you to do. Give him some heaven. Teach him heaven. Teach him the good things. Let him have a hungering for the good things. Take him to camp meeting and train him right. Teach him those things. That's the responsibility that the Lord will give you in those kind of things. And there'll be more things than that. Most of the time, young men, young women, most of the time, there's family involved in that that ain't just like your family. They like somebody else's family. Well, I didn't choose. Okay, you didn't choose what? Yeah, you did. You chose it. Now spend a little heaven in it. That's what it's about, folks. Whatever it is, it's a decision that goes all the way through. And in everything that we do, folks, we have a decision to make about it. And when we choose the right, when we choose the godly, we're choosing heaven. We're choosing to put and incorporate that in our life and let it to grow and to be the stable. I'd like for it to be. I want to tell you the way it is up my house, and my children can testify to it. I ain't saying everybody has to do it my way for sure. But Lord bless us. But I'll say this. Everyone that visits me, okay, family members, friends, they visit me. They know where I'm going on Sunday morning. I've never had to tell anybody that. And you know, I made a choice. I made a choice and I solidly put it there. This is what's important to me, and it will be important to you if you'll let it. And it will work for you if you'll let it. And so I'm going to establish to the people in my life that what I know will be best for you in your life is to live for the Lord as faithfully as you can. And that's what I'm going to do. And sometimes it isn't real convenient. And sometimes there's other factors. But I'm going to tell you, to me, it is a letdown of what I'm trying to say to people about the value of things when I don't do it. And I want them to know that I need to be with the Lord. I need the service that I go to. Maybe you can say it's a little bit of habit. I think it is. I'm kind of habited that way. If I didn't go, it would be very awkward for me. I am so habited to going. And I'm glad that I built a habit like that. But I really mean it. And I'll tell the Lord sometimes, Lord, I don't want to just do this out of habit. I want it in the heart. I want to come here because I want to come here and I get something out of it. So help me. But when it isn't that way, you give me something when I'm just doing it by habit. Because I want to do it, and I want to tell the world that this is important. It's important. I want to choose heaven. I want to choose heaven. That's my choice. I want to choose heaven in my life. I want to pick the good things of life. I don't want the things of hell in my life. I don't like the misery. I don't like the heartache. I've seen the patterns. I've heard the stories, and it runs that way. Seen mom and dad. I've seen the moms and dads that have the little children that late in the night are looking out the window. The fuss is going out in the community, out in the street. The fuss is going out there. The little eyes are at the windows looking out there at the police officer's sirens going around. The flicing. They're having a fight out there, breaking up a fight. Hear the squalling, doing all that. The little eyes are peeping out there wide-eyed seeing that. You would think nobody would want that in their life. Nobody had picked such a thing as fighting and fussing and having a life like that. I sure don't want the drama. Oh, this world's so full of drama. Little eyes looking out at the drama and all that going on. And lo and behold, the years roll by. And just now the stories come. They get older. They get married. They have little eyes looking out the window. They're out in the street fighting and fussing and all the fighting stuff that goes on reckless. And they're looking out. And you'd say they saw it. They looked. They beheld it. The pattern was so deep in them. That's all they do. And they run their normal course. And they choose hell. They choose hell for themselves. They choose hell for their community. They choose hell for their children. They choose all that because that's their choice, and they can do it if they want to. But you can't blame God at the end of it when he said, you chose it all your life. You got all the lustful things. You got all the filthy and the dirty things. You couldn't stand to have a good marriage. You couldn't do all that. You chose hell in this world, and I'm going to give you heaven for the next one. You don't fit. It's sorry to God. It repents God. God don't want it to happen. It's not his will that any should perish. He don't want it. But he honors the choice people makes. And you put that in your life. You'll be fit for one place or the other. Lord, help fit us. Oh, Lord Jesus, fit us. Help us cleanse up all those places in our life. Lord, you know what happens many times? I'm not being critical. I'm telling you from observation. People go years sometimes with some serious things in their life. It's obvious to everybody. They have serious things in their life. They can't get along. They can't be apart. They do that years and years and years. I'm saying tonight, quit making the choice like that. Make a choice to humble yourself. Make a choice to come and get some heaven in your life. Let the Lord spread his love and joy in your heart. Don't keep choosing those things that's divisive and hurtful. Because it's not going to work. If you choose it here, you get it forever. Because you love it. You see what I'm saying? You choose it. You can choose this. You know, it don't have to be extreme. You can choose to love this present world. The rich man didn't seem to have, by the definition, he didn't seem to have anything incredibly sinful. He just loved this present world and didn't choose the Lord. He loved the purple and the finery, and he eats sumptuously every day, and he chose it. He chose it in this life. He didn't choose heaven. He chose the things of this earth, the mundane, the secular, the carnal, the temporal. He chose it in this life. He chose no God. And God didn't want that. God wanted him to come up to the end so God could say, well done! Well done, you chose, and you got, so you got heaven in your life. You got heaven in your heart. Jesus spreads it. Jesus is heaven. It's all about Jesus. Get Jesus in your life. Spread those things in your life and your heart. Lord, help us. We need the Lord, and we need him real bad. We don't need to go with the choices that we have. What a power. What a power I have tonight. I have the power to start now. It isn't my heart to do it at all. But I have the power right now, and I'm sure you'd shut the mic off on me. But if I choose to do it, I have the choice if I want to start telling you bad stuff about yourself or tell you what to, you walk funny. I could just start pointing out that you didn't get your hair combed or your shirt's wrinkled. I could do anything with that I have. I could choose it. Or I can make the same choice to say, you mean something to me. You're important to me. I'm glad I'm here. This is a special place to be. Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to share my burden with you. It's the greatest honor anybody can have. You took time out of your time to stand and listen. It's a great honor to me. I can choose what I choose and how I feel. I can choose to love. You can choose to love. You don't have to hate. You can choose that the Lord would fix those things that's not right about your life. Don't you see them? Hasn't the Lord ever dealt with you about them? Don't you know what they are? Well, surely the Lord wants to deal and help us. He don't want us to go 50, 60 years. I tell my wife a lot of times, I sense things are changing in my life, and I know this is simple things, but I just I just want to be a guy. I don't want to be a grumpy old man. I don't want to be a sour, grumpy old guy that can't get along with anyone. I tell my wife sometimes, help me with some of this stuff. I mean, if I want to be a man, somebody that has some integrity. If I spill food down my shirt, honey, tell me I got food down. You got something on your face? Tell me that if I can't do it myself. And get older and go down the road. So old men do this a lot, go down the road with their mouth open because they get these things in their nose and they can't breathe and they're going on down the road. I see it a lot. I guess why ain't nothing evil about it? But tell my wife, honey, tell me to just get your mouth shut. Look it up. Have some little dignity about yourself. I care about some things. The Lord help me to have a little bit of dignity about things, and especially for manners for other people. Don't want to be insulting or hurting to people. I don't want to run anybody down. Why pick hell in this life? If you pick it here, you're going to have it over there. It's a choice. So let's choose the way of God. It's so much, folks, it's so much better. And if you haven't really experienced, I want to tell you, there's another analogy. Lord help me, I'm going to wrap up. But there's another analogy that I've used many times in the scripture. When the children of Israel was out in the wilderness, you remember, they went out there and the Lord, they was eating manna and food was always an issue. Well, to be honest with you, it would be an issue with me too. I mean, manna is a good representation of the grace of God, and you get it every day. I mean, I can get the analogies, and what a wonderful blessing that God fed his people in a miraculous way. But it had a taste to it. It's described a couple different times in the Bible, and one of them almost sounds like a graham cracker to me. That's what it kind of sounds like, the taste of it. I don't know if it was sweet or had anything to it, but I do know this. If I eat that for morning, noon, and night, maybe with a little snack before I went to bed, and if I eat that for 40 years, you know what? I wouldn't want to be guilty of murmuring, but it would be tight. I mean, it would be like, I like a lot of food, but I ain't never run into anything that I could eat that consistently, that I would want without some kind of variety, without something else. And so the children of Israel there, and they're eating manna, and they start grumbling and complaining and saying, well, you know what? Egypt was full of leeks and garlic and onion and melons. Oh, if we was back in Egypt. What a statement. The place that God had delivered them out of. If I could go back to the things that never worked before. But you know what the problem is? It's a bad comparison. God never intended that. And if you're here today and all you ever experience is a dry experience that you get along with, you're missing it. That's not what it is. God intended for them to come out of the spice of Egypt and go to the land of substance and pomegranate and grapes that they carried on poles between them that flowed with milk and honey and was satisfying. And you compare Egypt with Canaan, and Canaan wins. You compare Egypt with the wilderness, Egypt wins. The filth, the dirtiness, and all of those things win. It's because it's a bad choice. Don't stay in the wilderness. Don't stay half done. Come fully over. Come over and get what God's got, the richness of it. But it's a choice. You can say this is all I want and hope it's enough. You can say, if I go any farther, you might call me to preach. And I just want to testify to you, if he does, it's not as bad as you think. It's just not that as bad as you think. God will make it just right. Pick heaven. And I want to tell you, you're looking at somebody that you would have never thought, my teachers would have never thought, my family would have never thought, nobody that I ever knew and not myself would have ever thought that I could have stood here and said anything that made sense. But there is a God, and he can help us in everything that we do. Choose, the scripture said, I set before you. This is the common scripture we use with these kind of things. I set before you good and evil, life and death. I said, you got to make a choice. I set before you in the life that I give you,
whatever years and moments you have, I set before you in that lifetime, heaven and hell. I will influence you by my spirit. I will make sure you contact godly people and godly things. And I will put that, I will give you the opportunity in the place. We're not defaulted now like Adam and Eve was. They were made pure. We are not. We're defaulted to sin. And we'll fall to sin every time. And we're going to have to choose to rise above it through God, through Christ. We're going to have to choose it. And we're going to have to choose for Him to instill out of that carnal life. He's going to have to instill heaven into us. But it's a choice that we can make. And He gives it to us and offers it to us. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Right here, I'll give you rest. You can make the choice. You can make the choice to overcome those things in your life. If you're here now, tonight, and the planet, this salvation experience just is not fulfilling to you, it can be. It can be. Make the choice. I tell you how it can be. Throw it all in. You throw all into it. Give it all. And it'll be coming. It'll be that way. Put into it. Be a part of it. Be a part of it. Make it better. Do the best you can with it. And you'll find out it works. Oh, the Lord puts the choice before us. I want to end with a song. I'm going to have to find it. I think maybe 399. A verse of a song. The title of this is Lost Forever by B.E. Warren. It's the last verse of the song. It says, where will you go, poor sinner? How will your soul escape? Question. Think of thy lot when forever cast into the dark burning lake. If then you're lost and forgotten, withering in the flames of despair, you will remember you've chosen to be there. In a lifetime of choices, you've chosen to be there. I may have not directly chosen certain things in my life, but I chose things that made the choice for me. I chose it, and this is what happened. I chose to marry a wife, so I chose to have children. So I chose to have them children. I have to make sure they have what they need. Children, it's my job. I have to, all life's that way. You take on the responsibility of the choices. And tonight, you're here. And what I mean by that is, you've got to deal with your soul. It's in your hands. It's your choice tonight what you want to do with it. And you may say, foolishly, I'm going to wait to another time, another moment. It's a bad choice because you don't know what that choice will mean, because it'll have choices following it. You pray for me.